The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
My next guest has not seen her two sons in over 2 years. Mandy Kelly's sons, Zayn and Kareem, now 5 and 3, were abducted by their Egyptian father while in Egypt back in April 2022. And Mandy joins me in studio. You're welcome to the show, Mandy. And thank
Many
you
thanks,
for
Kieran.
Taking the time to speak to us. Before I ask you about what happened, maybe tell me a little bit about the boys. Tell me about them.
So Zayn was born in May 2018. Zayn was 3, gone on 4 when the abduction occurred. Kareem was only 16 months. So that gives you an outline of how young these two little boys are, and they are stranded in a foreign land that's not their habitual residency, obviously without their mother. And one would think this is totally against international law.
So how did they come to be there? What happened in April 2 years ago?
So 2 years ago, the 26th of February, we're just like any normal family. My estranged partner and I and our two beautiful sons went on what was supposed to be just a family holiday. Obviously, after COVID, I think we were all looking forward to holidays. And especially in the instance that the fact that my two sons had never been to meet their dad's extended family. So it was only supposed to be a normal holiday, a 2 week holiday. We were supposed to come back to Ireland on the 12th of March. My estranged partner, actually the week before we were supposed to travel, had actually signed on to extend his Irish visa on the plans that he was going to apply for citizenship when he returned. And we had actually been to a local school to enrol our beautiful son Zayn for his first year in junior infants that coming September.
Oh God.
Yeah.
So you had plans for your life here?
Obviously, yes. Like, as in the year before, I had bought the family home in Dundalk. My estranged husband had completed an undergrad degree. So life was just as what it usually is for a couple trying to earn some money and look after two young boys.
And when you were in Egypt then, when you went for this family holiday,
yes,
to see the relatives
yes,
that the two lads had never seen,
yes,
your estranged husband's extended family, when did things begin to go wrong? Or when did you notice that something wasn't right?
I noticed something wasn't right because just maybe maternal instinct. He just was a little bit on the hostile end. But on the 11th of March, the day before we were supposed to travel back, he had approached me in the apartment that we were staying in. Even when I look back, the fact that I wanted, like any other parent, I wanted to stay in a hotel to be able to enjoy our holiday to the max. He refused this and he wanted to stay in a holiday apartment, obviously knowing that in a family holiday apartment, I wouldn't have been able to avail of the help that I would have been if I had been staying in a hotel.
Okay, so this, you suspect now, is planned well in advance.
Premeditated, very much so, yes. Even he had assistance. Obviously, I can't really go into detail about this, but he had even help here, assistance here in Ireland. He had a friend actually sell our family car while we were away and assist him further. Again, I can't go into it.
Okay. So in hindsight now, you can see that this was planned, what, maybe months in advance?
I can imagine maybe even up to a year, unfortunately, Kieran. Yes.
Okay, so you're in Egypt. You're in this holiday apartment.
Yeah.
It's the day before you're due to fly home.
Exactly.
And what happens?
So I had woke up quite early that morning because I wanted, just probably being as typical Irish mommy, wanting to pack and have everything ready for going back, that obviously that when we came back to Ireland that we wouldn't have an awful lot of to do. I had been feeding my 16-month-old son, Kareem, and he said that he wanted to talk with me and he wanted me and him to go and have coffee. I refused because I knew that Kareem, he was like a typical 16-month-old, he was quite clingy. And I urged him, I urged my estranged partner to speak with me, and he admitted that he didn't want to return to Ireland. But worse still was that he didn't want my two sons to travel with me back to Ireland.
God, Mandy, I mean, I appreciate it's difficult and people can hear in your voice that it's difficult, but if you can, try and explain to me what that was like, that moment when, you know, you kind of thought, like that, you've got this life planned ahead of you, you've had this family holiday, you're due to fly home, and suddenly, I'm not going with you, and by the way, I'm keeping the kids.
I can just say that my body actually went into complete and utter shock. Like, that's the best way to describe it. I just felt like, this is just crazy. Like, what is this person, like, is he out of his mind to even consider this? And I knew, something inside me knew that I had to keep calm. I knew that I was in a foreign land and that I had to keep calm for the sake of my children. I wasn't even angry. I just was in complete and utter shock. The best way to describe it is my whole nervous system actually almost went into a state of shock. My stomach twisted and churned and my hands started to shake. That's exactly the best way to describe it.
And what happened after that conversation?
Like, obviously, I challenged him.
Yeah.
Obviously, in the right way, in the calm way, as to, you know, his reasoning for this. And, you know, like, as in, there was nothing that led to this on the holiday. Like, as in, we went and did usual family activities on a family holiday. There was absolutely nothing, Ciarán, that happened. Like, as in, you know, a lot of people think, oh, they must have had a massive row the night before. Nothing like us.
And
of such.
He was doing the activities with you. You were doing all the stuff together.
Yes, I know. It's when I tell people this, they can't get this around their head. Like.
And then how does he get the children away from you?
What happened was, I knew for us to be able to fly on the morning of the 12th of March at 2 a.m, we were to have our COVID tests due to the pandemic at the time. So I was trying to urge him to go to the health centre, which was located near the family, the holiday apartment that we were staying in. And I just thought it best if I could, you know, maybe bring him for a walk and go to the health centre to get our COVID tests, that I might be able to convince him that what he was doing was not correct. And it was not obviously in the best interest of our two children, and not obviously in the best interest of his wife. Whilst we were in the health centre, he refused to take the COVID test. And this really, really infuriated me. And he went back to the holiday apartment without me and grabbed our two children. And his mother obviously was in the apartment at the time, and we had rented a car, and he took the two kids and his mother in the car, and the rest, as you know.
What did he say was the reason?
The reason for all of this was he purported that I was... I was an unfit mother, and that everybody here in Ireland was cruel to him, that my family hated him, and which I knew all of this was all gaslighting and him being incredibly manipulative. So what happened was I went back to the apartment and actually just reliving it here in my mind. Went back to the apartment. Obviously, I was locked out. I rang him, kept ringing him, and he said to me that he was going to another city with our two sons. He was going to Alexandria with our two sons and that I would never see my kids again. I don't know how I remained calm, but I did, because I knew that my kids were, they were with him, with someone that wasn't clearly thinking very straight. So he returned to the apartment an hour later to let me in. And I just wanted to stay there because obviously my son's belongings and his belongings were there. So I knew that he was going to come back at some stage.
Yeah.
And obviously, I, like any parent, I was going to do everything in my power to ensure that I could try and reason with this person. And he returned and said to me that he was going to have me arrested. That I was lucky that his mother had made him promise that he wasn't going to physically hurt me. Obviously, there's details I would prefer not to speak about. It's okay. Just too, it's too harrowing. But
when you came back to the apartment, when it was locked and you found out he wanted to go to Alexandria, had he left at this stage? The car was gone?
Yes, he had gone. When
did you last see your boys?
Before I had gone to the health centre.
And you haven't seen sight, sound?
No, I haven't heard my children's voices since then. I know it's harrowing. It's actually harrowing to think that it's over two years and 2 months since I saw a picture of my children or heard their voices. And for governments to think that this is okay.
Hmm. I want to talk to you about the government and what they might do in just a moment. But I'm sure you tried to keep contacting your husband to speak to the kids.
For legal reasons, obviously, I want to let your listeners know that there is it's not only just an abduction case. What's quite, what's even further harrowing about my case, Kieran, is during legal proceedings here in Ireland, my estranged husband had requested what he calls compensation of €500,000 for me to be able to see my children again. And one of his requests, even when I was locked in the apartment in Cairo, was that I was to return to Ireland to sell the family home. Obviously, I'd spent years working in the Emirates, so my savings from my time working there had gone into the purchase of the family home. And my mother had actually sold her family home to downsize. So he knew that there was cash there. So he had gone to the bother actually of submitting a statement, as I said, to the Irish High Court, and actually had got it notarized by an Egyptian solicitor requesting this huge amount of money. So as you can imagine, I can't reason with this individual.
Have you tried to find evidence of them online, you know, through Facebook and things like that, to catch a glimpse of them somehow?
As I said, I can't really go into detail, but there was a case that I had to request my solicitor to write to him, because I didn't want him to use videos or pictures due to the cash ransom, him to use social media as a way to try and taunt me further. I can't tell you. I can't put it in words, the state that I returned to Ireland in.
Mandy, I'll be honest. I can't begin to understand the state you're in today. I mean, it's just, I mean, to be so composed about it, it just shows remarkable strength. It is unthinkable, I think, to parents out there listening to this.
Yeah, it's unimaginable. And even when I sit and tell people my story, their jaw just drops. But it's now the case that, as I said, Irish government intervention is definitely required.
When you picture Zane and Kareem, do you picture them as a 16-month-old and a 3-year-old, or
yes,
as a 5
I
and
do,
a 3-year-old?
I do.
So they're kind of frozen in time in your head.
It is frozen in time. My 16-month-old baby, I still think of him as a baby. And obviously my 3-year-old, I still think of him. Obviously, you know, I think to myself, oh my goodness, when I see them, they're going to be big, like as in, am I going to be able to actually put them in my arms? I can't wait to carry them both in my arms, but they're going to be bigger and hopefully more cuddly and like as in probably, obviously Zane, I do have faith that he's going to have memories of me, but Kareem, definitely not. So obviously there will be, you know, a lot of time to readjust to that. But to be honest with you, Kieran, I just work for the day that I have my kids in my arms, and please God, the seat beside me on the plane to my right and my left will be full.
So tell me then about, because you mentioned the Irish government a few times. I know you spoke to Simon Coveney previously, Helen McEntee. You've had correspondence with the Taoiseach. You've met with the Children's Ombudsman, Micheál Martin as well, yeah. Corinne Taoiseach, and the Children's Ombudsman, Niall Muldoon. You've spoken. So what supports have they offered? And I think this is kind of important just for people at home to realize. Your kids, they entered Egypt on an Irish passport.
Yes, my children are Irish born citizens. They're citizens due to the fact that they were born here and the fact that I am Irish. They entered Egypt with Irish passports.
Okay, so they're there as Irish citizens.
Exactly.
Because sometimes that complicates things if people use maybe an Egyptian, but they didn't. They're there as Irish citizens and they were abducted as Irish citizens.
Yes.
So what support has the state offered? And what would you like them to do?
It has been lackluster, to put it politely. Since this has commenced, Kieran, I have lobbied relentlessly. I have been to every member of, almost in cabinet. I've met with Mr. Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach. I've met with the Minister for Justice, Ms. Helen McEntee. My case has been raised in the Dáil, the Seanad. I've brought my case to various Oireachtas committees, Justice, Foreign Affairs, the Petition Oireachtas Committee. I have had mediation through my mediator, Dr. Micheál O'Hurley, with the Ministry of Justice in Egypt. I've actually worked with Reunite International. It's a huge organisation that helps parents in my situation in the UK. So I have an Irish High Court order. There's a domestic arrest warrant for my ex-partner. There's a European arrest warrant, which is actually almost landmark in this country for my ex-partner. So government can't say that I have been incredibly reasonable to date, and I have utilised every diplomatic card that is that I can avail of.
And it certainly doesn't sound like you're ever going to give up that fight.
No, I will never ever. The system is almost constructed for parents to give up because it's so tough. It's so tough. When I met with Antonishta, Mr. Micheál Martin, and being accompanied by my mediator last November, the Department of Foreign Affairs was adamant that I should have full faith in the Egyptian family law system. When they know, Kieran, that the Egyptian legal system does not consider the best interests of the child in their courts. And I have used theory and various other cases to back up my claims. And when I asked for successful cases that they knew about, they could only give me one case. So, and I had reiterated what I had been told by a judge in the Ministry of Justice in Egypt that I needed Irish government intervention in order for my two children to be able to leave Egypt. I will obviously, as their mother, I will get custody in Egypt. But the problem is leaving. And I've said from the very get-go, I've made it very clear, even to the Egyptian ambassador here, Mr. Mohamed Salem, and the Department of Foreign Affairs, that when I go to Egypt, please God, I will not be leaving Egypt without my children. And they have mansplained to me that, oh, I needed to commence divorce proceedings. Mm. I've had to wait over 2 years for the issuing of the European arrest warrant in order to initiate criminal proceedings in Egypt, in order to try and utilise every avenue open to my children and I, in order for us to be able to leave Egypt.
Mandy, listen, keep the faith and we will keep in touch.
Thank you so much, Kieran. Thank you. God bless.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.